Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special spotlight here with the Epic Film Guys. I, of course, am Epic Film Guy Nick, and I am joined by one of the very, very best friends that the show has ever made. And I, of course, am talking about our brother down in Perth, Paul, from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. How the hell are you, my friend?
I am well, Nick. Thank you for asking. And thank you for that lovely introduction. You are our best friend we've ever made through podcasting, let's just face it. And it's always a pleasure to be in the recording studio, even though they're connected around the world, with you,
so to speak. Is it weird? Because I know it's just about midnight in Perth right now, but you can clearly see the sun streaming in the window and hitting my face.
I certainly can. It's not that weird. Nah, I'm used to it now. Yeah, I understand the way it all works.
I think that these kinds of things, like, every once in a while, they'll still surprise me a little bit. But I think, yeah, it's not as surprising like as it was like the first time, or like the first time you ever did like a video chat with somebody on the other side of the world, or whatever the case may be.
And the first time you record with an American podcast, which I think was you guys, and yeah, it was midnight your time and midday our time type of thing.
That was so long ago. My God.
It was
forever ago, but it's been great. You guys are amazing. You guys still do an absolutely amazing show. I still love to listen to it absolutely every single week. Wayne.
Thanks, man. Right back at you.
Gets more ridiculous, I think, as the weeks and months and years have gone on.
Yeah, and yet he wins more votes than ever before, so go figure.
Listen, I don't know what you're talking about. If you're referring to Mike from your listener community, Mike did that awesome spreadsheet. I was like, how can I use this to fuck with Paul? So I just added the fuck Paul modifier, which completely negates everything that you add everything to the score. But then Wayne can fuck it all up and just completely blow the whole thing, you know? So it
does make me laugh whenever you say you're a dirty. You made me vote for Paul. I feel dirty, Wayne. It's all your fault.
God damn it. But this is an interesting series of spotlights. So this is going to be the first of four different spotlights. Mm-hmm. That we're going to do, and these were all films that I asked you. I said, well, aside from this film that we're going to talk about momentarily, but I asked you, I said, what are a bunch of films that you know I haven't seen that you think I should see? And
you did.
Aside from, like I said, the film that we're going to talk about today, which is Shaun of the Dead, which is 15 years old this month as of recording. You're going to hear this a little bit later, but as of this year, 15 years old, which doesn't feel like it's 15 years old.
No, because it's pretty timeless, that film.
It's amazingly timeless.
Like, it's just, I imagine 30 or 40 years from now, the tech in it will be obsolete. But at the moment, it could still be taking place today.
That is the only thing in the film. Okay, no, there's two things in the film that are dated. One, they still have an answering machine.
That's true.
Which is hilarious.
That is true.
Ed is playing Time Splitters 2 on the PlayStation 2, I think. So the video game looks really dated. But
yeah,
as far as
you're right,
the rest of the film, every single thing about that film holds up. And there were things that I even noticed through on this rewatch that I had never noticed. Like, I never knew that. There's that one point in the film. It's one of my favorite moments in the film, and there's so many iconic moments, and that's really what this spotlight's going to be. It's just going to be us talking about iconic moments from Shaun of the Dead, I think.
Big chance.
I don't know what else you can really do with it, but the one scene that I love is when they're all escaping into the streets. They've rescued the girlfriend and the friends from the flat and everything, and they're trying to escape, and they run into like the exact clones of them, the other team. And I never realized it was Martin Freeman that is like the one guy in the lineup. And all of a sudden, like, I'm just watching back through it and I see him standing there. I was just like, holy shit, that's Martin Freeman. Never even noticed it before. But
well, Yvonne, I assume you're aware of this. Did you ever see the show that Peg and Edgar Wright and Nick Frost did first, Spaced?
No.
So the woman who is the leader of the opposite gang is Yvonne. She's played by Jessica Hines, and that's the other lead in Spaced.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's how they got her into the film. Yeah.
Nice. That's one of my favorite scenes because they're all dressed exactly the same. It's just that it's such a weird, surreal moment in a live action film. Like, it's more that kind of thing you'd see in like an animation or something.
Yeah, yeah, and there's that great shot where they all walk past each other and acknowledge each other in exactly the same way.
Exactly, so like the guy that's on his phone.
Yeah.
The phones are outdated a little bit too. Even though they are still cell phones, but still. The phones are a little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. The attention to detail in this film is incredible. And you obviously, as your listeners are very well aware, aren't the horror film fan. That's Justin's department and Lloyd Sources. But there are so many references to so many different horror films spread, particularly zombie films spread throughout this movie. So you probably didn't even get to appreciate it at that particular
level. Oh, doubtful. Yep. I wouldn't even know. Like, I'd be like, what?
right down to his mum's name being Barbara, which is, as one easy example is, Barbara is from Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
The George A. Romero original classic. So it's all that kind of stuff. It's just so good. And the editing, if you have to pick one technical side of this film, the editing is second to none. It is, the editing itself is almost a character. I would go, didn't be that wanky about it.
I mean, it gives the film so much of its character. And it's just the way that Wright frames a lot of the shots, like the opening of the film, for example, just the way that he frames it. Of course, David and Di are there and Ed's there, but he frames it as if it's just a conversation between Sean and Liz. And then you just keep expanding it out.
Yep. Brilliant.
How perfect is Ed's introduction in this film? Can I get any of you cunts?
And you cunts.
A treat to drink. Oh, my God. Like, that's...
It's genius. Comedy genius. That's the word
you're looking for. I'm falling over myself, even trying to think of ways to. I don't think I could criticize this film. Of the four films that we watched for these spotlights, this is the one that's the most near and dear to my heart.
Oh yeah, just for sure. Same for me.
It's endlessly funny, literally from the beginning to the end. Even when it gets a little melodramatic and a little bit heartfelt, which it does toward the end of the film. It's still just hilarious. So let's kind of go through, and I just want to peg favorite scenes, favorite moments that you have in the film. What are absolute, every time the scene's on, you laugh or you just are in love with it no matter what?
Ooh, geez. I have to narrow it down here.
Not the whole film, Paul. You can't just say the whole movie.
I'll go to the most classic moment for the film for me is when they are beating on the bartender to "Don't Stop Me Now."
Oh my God.
Playing on the jukebox, which is just glorious.
My favorite part of that is when David goes back to the breakers and he's trying to figure out how to turn it off. And he's sitting there flipping through the breakers and
everything.
Flashing all the lights and everything outside the bar. And they do that wide shot of the bar outside with all the zombies banging on the doors and windows and everything. The lights are blinking on and off it's a rave. Oh,
so good. That's brilliant. I also love the scene. And I wondered if you would have got a particular chuckle out of this when I rewatched this last night. But the scene where they decide they're going to attack the two zombies in the backyard, and they are sort of throwing things at them and decide, oh, hey, oh, the records.
The Batman 89 soundtrack?
Yeah, Batman 89.
And he's,
ditch it.
It's like, no. Oh.
What is it, Sade or whatever it is? Chuck it.
I just like...
Dire Straits, do it.
That's I'm not a record collection guy, but I at least understand that kind of... attachment to a record collection that was that's the second album I ever bought, or that was an original pressing, or what. And then Ed turns around, he's like, fuck's sake, the ridiculousness of it. And then finally after they go into the house and then they get a whole bunch of other random implements of things, and that's some of my favorite stuff of this movie as well. There's a scene where they throw a pole to Sean.
Yeah.
Intending to have him stab a zombie with it. And it's got this little little just puff ball thing on the end of it.
It's a tennis ball. Yeah.
Bounces off the zombie's head.
Do you guys all have those in America?
I think
tennis.
Yeah.
So you have two people, you can actually even have one person stand there and hit the tennis ball and it goes round and round that top little thing, and then you hit it back and it goes back around the other way. So it's like playing tennis against yourself or against someone else.
I know we have tether balls and stuff in America, but those are much bigger, obviously. than that. I mean, it probably is something we have in the States. I just don't play tennis, so I'm not familiar with it.
Fair enough. Yeah, that what else? I think even the start of the film, I think the genius in this film is that they are so caught up in their world, they don't notice the apocalypse happening around them. So the first 20 minutes, there are just all these hints everywhere, like this little snippet of the radio that a satellite has fallen back to Earth near, so change the channel type thing. So you can glean what's probably happened without them ever telling you. And that's just brilliant storytelling, I think. It's such an economy of storytelling, which few films ever get right like this.
When he's buying the flowers for his mom and you just randomly sees the homeless guy across the street, like going after the flock of birds, and he's just about to like bite its head off, and then the bus goes by and the guy's gone, and he's like just kind of looking out the window and whatever. And like people constantly are sick, like when he has to go to work and he has to be the manager because his manager's sick and a bunch of other people are sick. And that's why P. Serafinovich, who I love,
He's awesome.
Is pissed off because everybody else is sick and he's still got to go into work the next day. So he's pissed off when they're out partying. And you're right. It's all those little tiny subtle clues. And then one of the most iconic just parts of this film that I adore is after the breakup and everything, and after the night at the bar, when he wakes up, he gets up and he's like, "You want anything from the shop?" And then, you know, the same stroll that we saw him make like 20 minutes earlier in the film. And now
great one shot.
Post-apocalyptic all around him, and it just follows him all the way to the store. My favorite part of that is when there's blood on the drink cooler and he slips in it.
Yep.
And the scene keeps going without missing a beat. Like, it doesn't even stop to dwell on it. That's just the perfection that is this film, is he just slips on it. And it's so funny because it just, you know, he just slipped in a puddle of God knows what. He doesn't even notice.
He's so hungover, so caught up in his own world. He's been dumped by Liz, and even the back to when they're outdoors is when it's just over those fences. Have you ever heard of a shortcut before, David? And he goes to jump that fence that collapses under his weight, which they then do a great callback in Hot Fuzz on as well, which is fantastic. But there are so many Chekhov's guns in this movie, so many bits they set up early that they then return to. It's the script is just so smart, and it really upsets me when people write this film off as being a stupid horror comedy or a stupid zombie film. Like, if you've never watched this film, don't know why I'd be listening to this, to be honest, but if you haven't, you owe it to yourself, even if you hate horror films, to check this movie out. You can just fast forward through a couple of the gory bits.
There's a couple of really nasty gory moments in this film too, although watching David get disemboweled is sort of rewarding.
Yes,
for a viewer.
He's such a douche.
He's such a piece of shit. I hate him so much. One of my favorite things as well, and I didn't notice it again when you rewatch this film, because it's layered so perfectly. Number one, I love that Pete shows back up at the bar later and he's still naked, because obviously that's how Sean finds him earlier in the film.
Yep.
But I love that after they get the gun, Big Al says dogs can't look. Oh my god. But when they get the gun and they're trying to kill the zombies, the call-outs early on in the movie, and I never noticed this before, but early in the movie...
Top left.
Yep, top left. Sean's calling out when Ed's playing the video game, like the different things. They're the same exact call-outs in the bar later on in the movie. And I never noticed that before. And it's just like those little things, you know, those little things about the film I love. I love so much.
I'm going to make a big call here, Nick, and I think I was brave enough to do this on our show as well, so I'll do it to your listeners. Edgar Wright, pound for pound, is my favorite filmmaker.
Probably in terms of like his entire catalog?
Yep, because he's made 5 films. 4 of them have been top-notch. 1 has been okay.
See, I still have to
really
watch
good return.
World's End, and I still haven't even seen Scott Pilgrim.
World's End is the okay one. Yeah. It's not that good, but it suffers because of the comparisons to Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz is also
Baby Driver.
Incredible.
Hot Fuzz is amazing. Baby Driver is awesome.
Yep.
Scott Pilgrim is awesome, although it has its detractors. And then there's The World's End. So that's an amazing pedigree. And I don't know any other filmmaker after 5 films where I could say 4 of them are brilliant, 1's okay.
It still breaks my heart that we never got his Ant-Man.
Likewise,
knowing the craft that he has, and knowing just his ingenuity behind a camera and on set to just build. I mean, again, like you said, the script, the editing, the way that the camera is set up in the film, and just every single performance in this film is on point. Like literally everything about it is just from top to bottom perfect. Yeah. And
you mentioned it. We haven't talked about the actors. How good are Peg? How good is Nick Frost? This was Nick Frost, at least first film. He'd been in Spaced, but he'd never done a film before.
Can I get any of you cunts?
I'll do it on the night.
Such a perfect. Oh my God. And that's one of the things, horror films are kind of rife with that stupid human character that causes them trouble. And the thing that I like about the film is, I mean, it does play those tropes every once in a while, but it's still, it makes Ed a lovable enough character. Like, Ed's not just a dumb character that you just dislike and hate. Like, you really understand why Sean has this great affection for him, even though Pete's pretty spot on when he criticizes him earlier on in the film. Like, he pretty much is a fuck up, and he pretty much does nothing. He's
holding you back. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's pretty right about it, but he's endearing. And so, even though he does do that kind of cliched, dumb horror character thing every once in a while, where he answers his phone, or when he fucking starts playing the slot machine in the bar. Like, you know,
Ed!
You can't help but love him still, even when he completely fucks up, to where it's really sad when he gets bitten and everything, and the way
there is some real pathos there. But yeah. I'm going to match that by saying, I would imagine you've never watched the Blu-ray or the DVD of this film, Nick.
I swear I have, but go on.
Okay. Well, there's an extra on it, which shows what happens, because, as you mentioned, David gets eaten, dragged out, half of him gets dragged out the window anyway, and Diane, in a fit of rage, chases him out, basically swinging whatever the little pissy fire poker, whatever she's got in her hand. Well, they show a little extra of what happens to her afterwards in this little animated form on the DVD, and it shows she lives. So she doesn't die when she goes diving out there, which is nice.
I love it's got Bill Nighy as Philip. I love. I think he's absolutely amazing, and I love that he's just that dickish dad who just randomly shows up at work and is like reminds him, "I was gonna."
Yeah, he just immediately reverts to being 13 years old when he's around him. It's great.
Yeah, I love it, and there's. The thing that makes a good horror film for me, and of course the comedic aspects of this are like beyond incredible, but I think the thing that makes the horror aspects of this film work the best is that it invests you in these characters. Like, you actually care about the journey that these characters go on. So their relationship, like, they develop their relationship as, he's not my dad, he's not my dad, he's not my dad. And then they slowly develop that into, you know, they have that heartfelt goodbye when he's dying in the car and everything. And then, you know, Sean comes around to, you know, to call him his dad. And it's those moments are small and they're not dwelled on a lot. But I love that they're put in here and they're masterfully executed. They're just as great. Like, the dramatic moments in the film are just as great as the horror bits or the comedic bits. And yep. I think that's ultimately why this film works so well. If you remove those dramatic bits from it, like, there'd still be memorable stuff about this film, make no mistake, but it's because we love these characters so much that we keep going back. And because whenever Ed farts and says, "No, I'm sorry, Sean," it's funnier. even though we've seen it, and even though you know it and everything, it's just funnier and it's just better because these characters are so investing.
Couldn't say it any better. I reckon we've nailed this one. Everything from top to bottom, as you said. Direction, script, editing, soundtrack is awesome. I had it on repeat on iTunes for a long time after I originally saw this film, or at least whatever was before iTunes.
Yeah.
And I think the performances are just stellar. You can see why Simon Pegg went on to have this amazing career. And the only person I haven't seen a lot of after this film is probably Kate Ashfield as Liz. So,
I've never known, but I mean, British film has its own its whole own kind of thing. So maybe she does something in
a lot of that stuff, yeah,
in British film or whatever. I don't know. I could see why Sean was in love with her though, because
yeah, I'm kind of, I was in this film, I was more of a fan of Lucy Davis, to be honest. I'm not sure why that is, but there you go.
I mean, I'm fine with either one. As long as, you know what? As long as we can watch David get disemboweled, that's really the only thing I care about.
Then everyone's a winner.
Then everyone wins. I mean, some of these I'm going to rate, some of these I won't whenever we go through them. I don't think there's any real reason to rate this film. It's pretty obvious what our ratings are. They're pretty goddamn high. It's just...
I'll rate it. I'm happy to rate it. Up until this rewatch, it was always a 9 out of 10 for me, but I've decided that in my whole life, having given 13 films 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10.
He's going to break it
up. I'm
doing it.
I'm bumping it up. It's going to be my 14th film ever. God in heaven. 10 out of 10 for Shaun of the Dead.
I have to echo that. I mean, it's just, I don't, when I think of this film, when I watch this film, I can't think of a single thing about it I would change. I love every single minute of it from the opening until the ending. I just adore it. It's perfect. It is legitimately amazing. So thank you very, very much, Paul, for joining me.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Can my audience
to watch this again?
Find you on the web, as if they don't know, but where can they find the countdown on the web?
Search The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, The Countdown PC on Twitter, and that you'll find us everywhere else. Yeah, we're on Facebook. You can also hit up The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, and from there, go to our Facebook listed community, because that's where cool people like Nick interact with us.
That's where we troll Paul endlessly.
Yeah, that too.
Endlessly. No matter what, you have to be harder on every decision Paul makes because he knows better. Wayne doesn't know better, really. It's arguable. But Paul knows better. And then he does things sometimes on the show that you're like, Paul? No.
I'm sure that's coming again very soon.
I am more than sure it is. But thank you very, very much for myself, for Paul. Thank you so, so much, everybody out there, for listening. We love you, and we will see you at the movies. Sonic man out of you. Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, just give me